How has the life during the pandemic been for you as an NHL GM?
That's a great question. It's been unique. It's been different. And as just hearing Berkey's comments, we've been living on Zoom, and it's we're doing a lot of things differently, I guess. Some of them we might continue to use in the future, but it's you know, we've got action items that we've got prioritized, and you, every day you just got to get some work done. And it's just a different time for everybody, and you know, you know what you need to get done. We just don't know what the timelines are to activate on certain things.
Doug, what's the biggest challenge when you talked about it being a different landscape, in not getting that interpersonal, where you can look a guy right in the eye, face to face, a prospect that you might be interested in? What's been the biggest challenge you've had to deal with?
Well, I've actually found that the Zoom interview has been pretty good with some of these kids. Whether they feel more comfortable in their own room, in their own setting, they don't have other people around them, so it's been you can probably get into some more real subjects. The thing for me, I mean, it'd be nice to have the combine. It would be nice to sit in a room with them, but it's the same for every team. So whenever the draft comes our way, we're going to be ready. I know our guys, Timmy Burke, Dougie, Joe Will, all our guys, Ned Colletti, they've done a boatload of work. I think they're up to about 160 or 170 Zoom interviews. So they're ready to go. It's just a matter of us telling us when that time's going to take place.
All right, alongside Doug Wilson, the Sharks GM. Go ahead, Stewie.
I wanted to ask, you played for two coaching legends as a player in Brian Kilray and Mike Keenan. How are they as coaches, and how did they help you develop as a player?
Well, you know what? You learn from everybody. I had some other great coaches, too. I had Bob Pulford coached me for a while. I had George Kingston. It all started with Brian Kilray, though. I mean, he treated us like men, even though we were just kids. You know, we all respected him. There was a fear factor to him. He's a great friend today. He's probably as much a teacher of life for everybody that's ever played for him as anybody. Mike Keenan had success. You know, he had a different approach. You know, Bob Pulford to me was a great coach for me to break into the NHL with, because his fundamentals, his defensive approach to the game, was the old school, you know, hard ass approach. But I appreciate everything that he taught me too.
Berkey.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about him, Doug. Thank you for doing this. I have a couple things that your old defense partner told me to ask you about. In a minute, I'll ask them. But
I got a lot of old defense partners.
Well, this one's got a red-faced guy that works south of you.
Oh, Murph, my buddy.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you about Bob Pulford, because he doesn't get enough credit. He was a really solid hockey player in the NHL, longtime coach and executive. Really, I found one of the smart guys, but managed to disguise it because he was so grumpy and he spoke so seldom. But when he said something, it was valuable, always.
Well, he was respected. You know, he was the captain of the Maple Leafs. You look at his hockey career and how he played the game, it was pretty amazing. And it wasn't for a lot of personal glory. When we came in, I mean, he was tough. You know, he had that fear factor that you respected. But how he taught the game when I first broke in was amazing for me. I had Stan Mikita as my roommate, and I had Bob Pulford as my coach. And then a couple years later, I had this guy by the name of Bobby Orr that I had the ultimate privilege of playing with. So I've been really fortunate to have people impact my career and be part of my life. But Pulley was certainly one of those people, too.
Yeah, so now let me jump in here. And Murph says, I'm supposed to ask you about you and him in the hospital one day waiting for small procedures. Something about jumping fences.
Murph's not supposed to be telling stories like that. I thought that was supposed to stay in confidence. Yeah, I had an injection in my neck, so half my face was kind of paralyzed. He had one in his back, and he couldn't walk, and we looked at each other, and it looked like the Monty Python thing out of the Black Knight, where it's, you know, just a flesh wound. We were both all beat up, laughing at each other, and those are the memories of the game that going through moments like that that you know, you cherish sometimes, and you can laugh about over a few beers after.
Well, he also added, you never took a day off. Great teammate, quiet leader, very even-keeled. Should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Take him on my team any day of the week. That's pretty high praise.
Well, it's funny. You know, coming from Murph, people don't realize how good a player Murph was. I mean, not only in junior in Cornwall, but a very long career in the NHL, true professional. So I have great admiration and respect for him, not only as a player, but as a friend, what he's done as a GM, too. And I know you spent a lot of time helping mentor him, and he's a good man.
Yes, he is.
We're joined by Doug Wilson, the GM of the San Jose Sharks. Listen, Doug, I know it's a nice love-in with you and Berkey, but as a kid who grew up in Toronto in the early 80s as a Leaf fan, you know, you brought a lot of misery into my household, I have to say, because you used to torch the Leafs when you were with the Hawks, and you would torch them using that wood and Sherwood. I'm wondering, how many goals would you have scored with today's composite sticks?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, everybody's different. Goalies are different and all that, but I'll ask you the question. Can you imagine how hard Bobby Hull would have shot the puck if he had the sticks today? And yes, I did have fun coming into Toronto. I always loved my brother played for the Montreal Canadiens, so anytime you go into one of the original six buildings, and whether it be Montreal or Toronto, we always had family there, so we always got, I think, hyped up for those games. And but I always had pretty good fortunes playing in Maple Leaf Gardens.
I know. Listen, I remember it well. I go, why won't they get a guy on him on the point? We know how he shoots the puck. It was it was frustrating to say the least.
Everybody was chasing Denny Savard around and Steve Larmer, so.
That is true. That is true. Some pretty good Chicago teams as well. Doug Wilson, the GM of the San Jose Sharks, joining us now. Go ahead, Stewie.
You guys, San Jose, pride yourselves on leadership and having good veterans in the room. And two players that used to play for you guys are good friends of mine and actually great veterans in Joel Ward and Rafi Torres. How big of an impact did they have, not just on the ice, but in the dressing room when they played for the Sharks?
Oh, huge. You know, you go back to 2015, it was the only time in the last, since 2003, that we'd missed the playoffs. And we brought in Joel Ward, Paul Martin, and Martin Jones. And Wardo came in and was incredible to us, not only as a player, but as a leader. His girlfriend, fiance, now his wife, Kathleen, was incredible in the wives' room. But without Joel, we wouldn't have had that success. You know him and what he does in the community, how he teaches people to be true pros. He's been incredible for us. Rafi Torres, I'll be honest with you, came in and did a great job. When he ended up getting, suspended in the LA series, it had a huge impact on it. But people didn't realize how good a hockey player he was. Type of guy guys hated to play against, but loved having him on your team. A lot like a Brian Marchment type guy. And Rafi, unfortunately, with some of the injuries down the end of his career, but he was a real good hockey player, and he meant a lot to us.
Berkey.
Magical year for you, Dougie, in 1982. Norris Trophy, 39 goals, 85 points, still team records. And people wonder why just one Norris Trophy, but you look at the guys that were bracketed around you. Denny Potvin had 3, Larry Robinson 2, Rod Langway 2, Paul Coffey 3, Ray Bourque 5. That was a great year.
You know, it was one of those years that, a lot of things came together. And it's funny, I was fortunate to score a lot of goals that year, and I think even the following year, I think I played better in the all-around game, and I learned from that. And I think what happens when you have a level of success like that, it raises your own expectations. And then I was fortunate enough to play in a Canada Cup in '84 with all the great players in the game, and those types of things raise the expectations that you want to have going forward. But again, I was able to play with so many people, so many guys that shared their wisdom and knowledge with me all the way through my career that, as you know, Berkey, that's what makes this game so special. But when you get to play in a best-on-best type of situation and be around the best players and see their habits and what they do on a daily basis, it can only help but make you better.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Doug, earlier on the show, Berkey had mentioned you guys were talking a few days ago, and you'd mentioned The Last Dance and that Berkey should watch it. I wanted your thoughts. I mean, you played for a number of years, over a decade in Chicago. At the same time, when Michael Jordan was drafted, brought to the Bulls, first of all, do you know him? Did you cross paths with him at all? And secondly, just your thoughts as an executive watching the behind-the-scenes situation with the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan specifically.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to get to know Michael, play some golf with him, and follow that journey. John Paxson, who was also on the team, was a good friend. We worked together for many years at Coca-Cola in the summer times. And I think watching that series, there's something there to be learned by from everybody. If you take a look at the coaching changes, you take a look at Phil Jackson coming in with Tex Winter with the triangle offense that they integrated in. how Michael handled some of the incredible things he had to deal with away from the court and how he focused on the game. For example, when they got beat by the Pistons that one year, very next day, the entire team is in the gym. So I think there's just a lot to be learned. I've talked to all our coaches and most of our players. They've been watching it, and I think they've been fascinated by it. Yeah, it was a different time and era and place in society, but I think there's a lot of things there to be learned that can be applied today that lead to success and the commitment and preparation and how you handle distractions, how you handle conflicts. And, you know, you see Steve Kerr, who came through the process. He shared his story. Now he's having great success as a coach with the Warriors. So I thought it was a great documentary. It was very unfiltered and real.
I got to quickly follow up there. You mentioned you've golfed a few times with Michael Jordan. What is that experience like, and how much money is on the table when you're golfing with Michael Jordan?
In my case, none. but he
come on, come on, really?
No, he's a whole different level. He was really good to a lot of our people. He would hang around at our golf club in Chicago, and you know, the lifestyle, and you know, he had no privacy. And the ability for him to get away in a golf course or, you know, get into a clubhouse and just be one of the guys. I think he, with all the things he had to deal with in his life, really managed or found that balance at some point. But, you know, I think that's why he loved the game of golf. One, the competitive side of it, but two, just the ability to have a little bit of a sanctuary and take a breath and not have all the attention all the time on him.
Joined by Doug Wilson, the Sharks GM. Go ahead. Who is it?
I'm up. I'm up, I think.
Oh, Berkey, sorry.
Doug, tell us about Ned Colletti. Like, I know Ned well. I think people would really be interested in his story. He is such a bright guy and such a successful executive, but just going to work for you in the last year and a half or so. Tell us about Ned Colletti.
Well, I've known Ned for probably over 30 years. He was at my son's fifth birthday party at a practice rink at Franklin Park in Chicago. He's always loved the game of hockey. I think a lot of people forget that he was covering hockey. He was covering the Philadelphia Flyers back when he was in the newspaper business. Then he was in Chicago with the Cubs. You actually have mentored him in the hockey world with all the World Junior tournaments you've taken him to. I got to reconnect with him when he was here at the San Francisco Giants, and I was actually interviewing him and thinking of hiring him to our club probably about 10 years ago. And he called me one day and he said, "I don't think you can afford me." He says, "I just took the job as the GM of the LA Dodgers." But we've always kept in contact. I think I don't consider him a baseball guy. I consider him a sports guy with a really deep passion for the game of hockey. And you've spent a lot of time with him, Berkey. His work ethic, his knowledge, his curiosity, he's been such a great friend and mentor and advisor and supporter to me over many, many years. And when we talked about him coming in, working for our staff, you know, it was an easy add. He knows the game. The reports that he writes are so detailed, and it's always great to get somebody from a different point of view so that you don't have everybody being the same. You can have healthy conversations that are, you know, maybe you go down a different path or he makes you think about something differently. But Ned's been great for us. And he's got
he's
a great way about mentoring other people, too.
Yeah, I agree.
Stewie.
I wanted to ask, how has the youth hockey developed over the years since you've been in San Jose? And would you see a San Jose native be drafted in the NHL in the upcoming future?
Yeah, we've had a lot of guys, you know, get drafted in junior hockey leagues. We've had the very first player to matriculate up through the Junior Sharks program was Matt Tennyson. And Matt came up and scored a goal for us. And it was one of the original dreams for Mr. George Gund. And Berkey knows George very well. And George was our original owner. And one of his dreams was to build rinks, build youth hockey, turn San Jose into a hockey market, which has happened. Unfortunately, George passed away prior to seeing Matt Tennyson score the first goal. But we've got a lot of the kids that have come through the program are getting drafted, going to colleges. And I think, you know, a lot of it is to the ownership that we've always had of building a community. A lot of our players who have children now that are coming through They certainly are at the rink a lot, helping and sharing their knowledge. Curtis Brown does a great job. But San Jose has really, I think, become a hotbed for the young kids, too.
When you got there, Doug, you know, it being, you know, 30 years ago, essentially, did you have any reservations? You're coming from Chicago, this original six real hockey, you know, market to a very non-traditional hockey market. Did you have any reservations that, wow, this might not work?
You know, it was, to me, it was a huge opportunity and challenge to be in on the ground floor of something brand new. And, you know, when I went to Chicago in 91, it was kind of a, you know, the start of a new new era, I guess, for Chicago hockey. And I think the ability to be in as a pioneer and try and grow the sport, build the sport, we had an amazing owner. You know, as I say, George Gund, enough cannot be said about him, how much he was an ambassador for the game. He wanted to give back to the community. So that was exciting for me. I knew it was a different challenge. I was, you know, at that point, I was winding down my career. The ability to come in and you know, start something new. We had a great group of people. You know, the Kelly Kissios, the Rob Zettlers, the Dean Evasons, I mean, Jeff Odgers. We had guys that would do everything they could, you know, to connect with the fans, play hard. We didn't have a lot of talent, but the guys certainly gave back to the community. And when we played in the Cow Palace, the ability to interact with the fans after games and things like that, the number of fans that we still have that used to go to the Cow Palace and are still season ticket holders, I think is a credit to a lot of the guys from the first couple of years teams.
Last word to you, Berkey.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story. Doug might not even know this. When San Jose first contemplated getting a team, the mayor came up to see us, and Pat Quinn was such a visionary. He was like, I was the assistant GM in Vancouver, and Pat was like, good Lord, we can get another team on the West Coast? You go help them. Go down there and meet with them. I met with city council. The original building they drafted was only 12,000. We told them it had to be bigger. But we played an active role. The Canucks did in helping them go through the approval process and get their team there. But what Doug is really understating, what they've done for youth hockey and minor hockey in that area, the rinks they built, just the resources they've committed to making hockey important there. And it's as big a story there as it is in Anaheim or in L.A. with the Gretzky trade. The Sharks have left their mark for sure.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Berkey, because it always starts at the top. Our owners have always been committed, from Mr. Gund to Mr. Plotner now and Kevin Compton, everybody in between. And they've always hired people, you know, whether it be the Joe Wills or John Gustafsons of the world, that truly understand, you know, building that whole community connection. And, no, I didn't know the story that you'd been involved right from the beginning, but that doesn't surprise me, and we appreciate everything you did.